Never preached anything like this before, dealing on this topic, and as the more we get into it, the more my heart is open to scriptures that I'm seeing that's talking about focus, and so today we're going to continue along the lines, and today I want to talk to you about focus that changes us, focus that transforms us, focus that causes us. When we focus and gaze on Jesus, when we focus and gaze on His God's personality, we should not be able to be the same way that we are. Because God wants us to be like the moon, which is a reflection of the sun. God wants us to be a reflection of Him. And how can we stay the same if we're constantly gazing into His loveliness, if we're constantly gazing into God's greatness, that reflection that comes, and what should happen to us should be like Moses. Moses goes in and he meets with God, and Moses comes out, and his face is vibrant. His face is so bright that they're like, Moses, you got to cover that thing, man. Now, no one's had to ask me to do that lately. They haven't asked me to cover my face because it's shining with the glory of God. But I do know this. The more time that I get into His presence, the more time I get into His Word, the more time I spend with Him gazing and focusing on the kingdom, my life will not remain the same. It will be changed. And yours will be changed. Yours will be transformed. I'm going to end up today And again, we've sung a lot of love songs because today I want to talk to you about focus that changes, that makes us a disciple of love. That's where I'm going today, is that our focus is going to make us a disciple of love. Why? Because God is love. That was the first memory verse any one of us probably ever memorized, wasn't it? God is love. So we're going to eventually go to the love chapter. So if you want to put a marker in 1 John chapter 4, we'll eventually get there. But I want to talk about the fact today that our focus transforms us. A few verses that talks about how we are transformed. And again, as a testament to my dad, I will just kind of throw in some things here and there that let me know that my dad was obviously not the perfect man, but my dad, in so many ways, challenged me to change and challenged me to be like him. I never once ever heard my dad swear, ever. All my life, I've never heard my dad say one word ever of swearing. I've never seen my dad ever once take a drink. I've never seen my dad ever once do any of those type of things. He just said, he was such a godly man in so many ways. And his love for the house of the Lord was so strong that it molded me to become a lover of the house of the Lord also. So that so many folks were like, why are you here today? And I'm like, man, I can't be away from my church and not be in the house of the Lord, because this is how I was raised. I was 3 days old. When I was born, 3 days later, I was in church. Literally. From 3 days old, and for my first 18 years of my life, easily I can say I never missed more than 2, maybe 3 days of a Sunday in church of my first 18 years of my life. Every Sunday, my family and I were in the house of the Lord. That's how my dad was. He was. Once my dad made a commitment to something, I mean, it was done deal. And so, anyway, I was transformed because of my time that I spent with him. Scripture says, 2 Corinthians, let's look at a few verses real quick, talks about how we're changed. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And all of us, everyone say all of us. Okay, so we're all in this thing. We're all going to be transformed. We're all going to be changed. And all of us, and I believe this is the woman's Bible, the Amplified Bible, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold, because we continue to focus. Hello, when you see that word behold, what does it mean? It means to focus. Because we continue to focus in the Word of God. As in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Now, I want you to catch this picture that Paul's writing for us here. When we focus in the Word of God, when we get in our Bible, when we get in our tablet, and we open it up, we are looking as a mirror of the glory of the Lord. Isn't that awesome? That we're looking into the glory of the Lord. Because of that, we are constantly being transfigured into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. All of us, focusing on the Word of God, are being transformed from one degree of splendor or glory to another. Now, some of you, you're on a pretty high degree up there. Some of you have already attained a pretty high degree of splendor and glory. And again, those type of people, they exude it because of their walk with the Lord and because the way that, because again, the moment I get saved, the moment you get saved, your spirit man is transformed like that. Amen? I mean, the absolute moment you say, Lord Jesus, thank you that I'm a sinner and I invite you into my heart. Scripture says as soon as we do that, our spirit man is transformed. Boom. But there's that old soul, man. Our body, soul, and spirit that has to some transformation. He said, our mind, will, and emotions, our soulish man, needs to be transformed from one image, one degree of glory and splendor to another. And that's what we're all working on until He calls us home. Amen. It's to allow ourselves to be transformed. 1 John chapter 3, let's see another verse again that talks about the fact that we're going to change. If we get in this thing and we really focus, we're going to be changed. Beloved, John says, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Amen? You haven't seen the finished product yet of what God is doing with me. Bill Gothard used to have, how many of you have ever attended a Bill Gothard seminar? Anybody? Oh, a lot of hands. How awesome is that? I wish everybody could go through a Bill Gothard Institute of Basic Learning. Anyway, he had these buttons, and he had PB, WME, M's. Anyway, bottom line, please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet, is what the acronym of all those little letters said on the button. And that's the truth. God is not finished working on us yet. It has not yet been revealed what David Hartley is really going to look like in the finished product. It's not been yet revealed what you look like. Because God's got some more work he's going to do, some more chiseling. He's got some more cutting away. He's got some more adding to of His character and His likeness onto us. And the finished product is going to be something to behold. Amen? And again, here's the thing. We've got to come and realize, okay, there is a process going on in my life. Then I'm going to let the molder mold. I've got to let the molder mold. I've got to be on His wheel. And as the pottery guy molds his clay jar the way he wants it, the maker, that's how we are. We're on the wheel, and we're allowing Him to mold us. We're allowing Him to make us and transform us into what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Praise God, amen. When He's revealed, when He finally comes back and reveals Himself, then we shall be like Him. And these old bodies that we don't like and have issues going on, my dad's not. He's not struggling today with pins in his ankles that he's had all his life. He's not struggling today with diabetes. He's not struggling today with a heart that's only working 24%. He's whole. He's there. Woo! Hallelujah. He's walking on those streets of gold today, and he's not having any problem walking. Amen. Now, what did we look like before the process started? Everyone just say, ugly. Ugly. It was ugly. Before we got started in the process of being transformed from one degree of glory to another, we just were. And Jesus says these words. Mark chapter 7. Jesus gives what we were like. From within, out of the heart of men proceeded evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, evil eyes, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things came from within us and they defiled us. Okay? It caused us to be very unholy. And again, the bottom word, we were just ugly. But thank God, God takes us as we are. He takes us whatever state we're in. It doesn't matter how bad I am. God still takes me and says, all right, I can do something with that. Amen? I'll take whatever. Again, he does not ask us to get cleaned up before we can come to him. That's important. That when people come, the hymn they used to sing in the Baptist church is just as I am. Just as I am. We come. Now, I want us to look at some folks that were changed. Now, in the Bible, they're simply known as the sons of thunder. The sons of thunder. It's kind of a cool nickname, actually. It comes the sons of thunder. Okay? Who's Jesus talking about? Or who am I talking about this morning? I'm talking about two brothers. I'm talking about James and his brother John. James and John. And Jesus, when he's calling his disciples out, it says in, you don't have to turn there, but in Mark chapter 3, it says that he gave them the name the Sons of Thunder. Now, we don't have an explanation why they're called the Sons of Thunder, but let's look real quickly at some scriptures to give us an indication of why Jesus would call them the Sons of Thunder. And oh, by the way, my dad was the Son of Thunder. My dad was a son of thunder. It was yes, sir, no excuse, sir. And supper was at 5 o'clock. And if you walked during the door at 5:05, yeah, you're not eating. Because supper was at 5 o'clock. And it was black and white with my dad. Can I tell you, it was black and white with the sons of thunder. And as a matter of fact, we're going to see with John, who becomes the apostle of love, it was still very black and white. But he was able to be transformed from a son of thunder into an apostle of love. And my dad was the exact same way, as hard as he was and as callous as he was being a TI for all those years and training up these recruits in the Air Force. In his later years, my dad just became an apostle of love. And just poured out and poured out. Unbelievable heart my dad had for pouring out. Now we see in Luke chapter 9, John, one of the sons of thunder, said to Jesus, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he's not one of us cool guys. He's not one of the crowd, the in crowd that's with you." Can I tell you, John was competitive. And he didn't like anyone else casting out demons in Jesus' name because he wasn't one of the 12. And he certainly wasn't one of the inner three of Peter, James, and John. I mean, listen, John is so competitive that when Jesus dies, we're going to talk about in a few weeks, he looks at Peter and says, "Last one there is rotten egg." Woo! And off to the tomb, Peter and John ran in a full blown out foot race. Oh, by the way, guess who won? Yeah, John. That son of thunder won. But Jesus says, listen. Do not forbid him. For he who is not against us is on our side, John. Listen, James and John were always looking. These guys were looking for a fight. They had an attitude. They had an edge to them. But how many of you know, when they spend time with Jesus, Jesus is going to knock that edge off of them. And they're going to become disciples and apostles of love. Then we get this passage in Mark chapter 10. Now this tells you the attitude. And maybe this is where we get the sons of thunder. Then James and John, and this is after their mom's already done it once. That's what's amazing. Their mom's already done this once. And now they're going to do it again. Then James and John came to Jesus saying, "Teacher," catch this line, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Jesus, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And I imagine Jesus is thinking, that's a pretty bold statement. That's a pretty thunderous statement. And so Jesus humors them. "What do you want me to do for you?" "Oh, nothing really. Just grant us that we may sit one on your right side and one on the other side on your left in your glory." Jesus said again. You can imagine Jesus is restraining himself. "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" And they said, "Oh yeah, we're able." What a thunderous statement. "We're able. We're up to it, Jesus. We're all that." Maybe that's why Jesus called them the sons of thunder after a statement like that. Or, and again, Peter and James were like, "Hey, we were the ones on the Mount of Transfiguration. We allowed Peter to come with us, you know. And so we should have all these special rights coming to us because, hey, we were there at the Mount of Transfiguration. You weren't," because the other disciples, Scripture says the next verse, the other disciples are like, "That's not right." That's just not right, going there and asking that of the Master. Or maybe it's Luke chapter 9 where we get the phrase that they became the sons of thunder. Luke chapter 9, verse 52. "And Jesus sent messengers to go before him. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for Jesus. But the village did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when the disciples, John and James, saw this, they said, 'Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just like Elijah?'" Now let me set the story for you so that you know what the context here. All right. In the Old Testament, there was a king. I think it's Haziah. He fell. Hurt his leg. Really fell hard. And so Haziah goes and tells his servant, says, "Listen, I need you to go and find a prophet and find out if I'm going to get better or not." And so the servant says, "Well, I know that there's a prophet in this village over here that I can go to, but it was not a prophet of the Lord." And so while Elijah's praying that morning, the Lord said, "Listen, you need to go intercept this servant." So that he intercepts the servant and says, "You can just stop in your tracks right now, because here's the word for the king. He's going to die. Okay, you got that word? He's going to die." So Elijah goes back to where he was. So the king comes back, and the servant comes back and talks to the king and says, "Hey, listen, we got stopped on the way there by this guy. I don't know who he was, but he says, according to his God, you're going to die." And immediately the king said, "Oh, that's the man of God. That's the man of God that stopped you. Well, listen, take 50 of your best men, and you go find the man of God and tell him I need to talk to him. I'm going to set him straight, okay?" So the servant heads off with his 50 soldiers with him. And he gets to Elijah. And the servant again says, "Oh, man of God, the king needs to talk to you." And Elijah's like, "Well, if I'm the man of God, let fire come down and torch all you guys." And all 51 are torched. Like marshmallows on a stick. So the king sends another 51 guys Oh, man of God, the king needs to really talk to you. If I'm the man of God, yeah, torch him. Can you imagine having that type of connection with the Lord? And so, then that story, the third guy comes and goes, whoa, 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 whoa. Please, don't, I don't want to anger you. If you say that you're the man of God, you're the man of God. The king really wants to talk to you. And he goes, all right, I'll come talk to him. And he goes, king, you're going to die. And the king died. Now, so based on that story right there, based on that story, here's Peter and James. I'm James and John. Here's James and John, these sons of thunder. Lord, do you want us to command fire from heaven down like Elijah? In other words, number one, they're that tight with the Lord that they've got the same type of relationship as the prophet Elijah did. And it's just amazing. I mean, and they were serious. You got to realize, they were serious. They really thought they had this and that they could do this and that they would show everyone else how powerful and how great. Now, here's the question. Jesus is going to teach. He says, now listen, when you enter into a town, I think this is in the Beatitudes. He says, when you enter into a town and they don't receive you, dust off your feet and leave. Because, again, that's the attitude of you're having a very, is it right to say, and obviously, command fire down. Do you feel the love? Do you feel the love in this statement? Jesus wants, again, the Lord overcame the world with love. The Lord overcame us with love. Therefore, we have to be people of love. Now, is that next slide picture of my dad? For those of you who it's been a while since my dad is able to. Can you turn the light off for just a second? Are these front lights? Don't even see just a second. Now, you can see. Judy, you can probably tell me when this picture was taken because my nose is busted up from getting whacked in the face with a softball. So, sometime last summer. My dad was a son of thunder. Absolute. He just, I mean, again, it was so strict and so, I mean, it was so black. Everything was so black and white with him. But you know what? The Lord worked on this man's heart. And in so many ways, he just transformed my dad. So that man you see here later, so many years later, sitting there, isn't at now. Let me tell you what, he's still being an usher in the church. He was the first one. If children tried to run in the church, my dad was the first one to say, not in God's house. Not in God's house. And he was, but the Lord, even in his later years, because when praise and worship took off in the early 80s, and it became more contemporary, and we stopped singing the hymnals and became praising. My dad was very against all this loud music. And as a matter of fact, I was so mean one time. I think I put a sign up on the sound room door. The sound was upstairs in the second story, and you'd walk up some stairs to get up there. And I think I put a sign on the door, said something like, "If it's too loud, you're too old." Something like that. I mean, it was horrible. I had to. I was his son. But you know what? I asked Mom the other day. I said, so what type of music do we need to have at the service? And she said, well, you know, Dad, one of Dad's favorite songs was Jump, Shout, something that Dave Bell wrote. Let the whole world know that the King is our God. I was thinking, you know, Blessed Assurance, How Great Thou Art, you know, some wonderful hymn of the faith. No, my dad's favorite song was Jump, Shout, something, and let the whole world know that the King is our God. There was a transformation that took place in his heart over the years, and he understood that to reach this generation, we had to change our music. And we couldn't stay in the hymnals. Thank you. Put those back on. Now, let's look at another son of thunder, the Apostle Paul, real quick. Because he's going to say something very important. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Again, everything with Paul was so black and white. And he's going to help us understand this. Because here's where the sons of thunder had to change. They had to learn to hate the sin, but love the sinner. Hate the sin, but love the sinner. The Apostle Paul, who is the son of thunder himself, said this. Know this, church, that we are always carrying about in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh to everyone around us. You got to catch this. The reason why we die to self, the reason that we're going to have, that we're going to live, that so then death is working in us, but life in you, the life of God in us. As we die to ourselves, as we allow ourselves to be transformed under His power, and dying to self and dying to those things that would make us a former sons of thunder, it's transforming us into disciples of love. Amen? It's turning us into disciples of Jesus. Death is working in us, and we are carrying about in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why did Jesus go to the cross and die? Love. Compassion. His heart for people. And so every day, and that again, that was the final atonement, amen, for us, was the cross. But how many of you know every day the Lord is asking us to make, and not that our sacrifices, that it's not atonement like His, but they're in some ways they're like mini atonements. Every day we live love. We carry Jesus' body so that when we meet anger, we return anger with gentleness. Amen. When we meet bitterness, we return bitterness with gentleness. When we meet stinginess, we return stinginess with generosity. When we're mistreated, we rejoice. When we're persecuted, we bless. That's the transformation that's taking place in us. Because our natural flesh doesn't like, we just want to have them smoked down, just like James and John did. When these people revile against us, when they come against us and say ugly things, all of a sudden something rises in us and we just want to fix it. We want to make it right, and we want to let everyone know they're wrong and we're right. But that's not the way Jesus did it. When we look in the mirror of His Word, we see that bless those who persecute you. Bless those who revile you. And I look at myself and I go, wow. Lord, I'm a few degrees low down on that level right now. I need some more transformation, some more work, some more help in those levels, Lord. Because I need to learn it's not about me. It's not about us, is it? Now, he finishes this chapter off in 2 Corinthians 4. And this really spoke to me this week as I lost with my dad going home. Verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Because even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed. It's being transformed. It's being transfigured. It's being changed day by day. Amen? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working in for us a far more and exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So, while we do not focus at the things which we see with our natural eyes, but rather we focus on the things which are not seen. Amen? For the things which are seen are so temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. What a wonderful message for us when it comes to our focus. We need to realize that if we'll allow ourselves to carry the body of Jesus and to truly carry the body of Jesus, our heart will become more like the body of Jesus. Amen. And that we will have our heart, the compassion will come out of us. So we don't know as very much about what happens to James. We do know that James, like the other disciples, he dies a death. He's a martyr for the kingdom of God. We do know, history says that James dies. He's a martyr for the kingdom. But John, the other brother, now John's going to live a long life. And he's going to be able to write some letters. As a matter of fact, he's going to write the book of Revelation while he's on the island. They didn't know what to do with him, so they just sent him off to the island of Patmos. But then he writes three little books in the back of your Bible. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And let's close today by turning to 1 John chapter 4. How many of you grew up singing this verse? Good. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And it's black and white. And here, he hasn't changed his personality. It's still black and white, but now he's doing it with a covering of love. Amen? He who does not love does not know God. Can you make a stronger, bolder statement than that? A person who says that they're a believer and doesn't love? Phony. Fake. Because true believers love because they know God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Let's jump down. The next few verses about seeing God through love. Verse 17, love has been perfected among us in that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we when? Whoa. As he is, so are we now in this world. Why? Because there is no fear in love, and perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. The transformation has taken place in John's life. All those rough edges, all those things that he had early on when Jesus grabbed him and said, hey, I need you to be one of my disciples. Now this has all come down to we see these words where he's now known as the apostle of love. Church, and that's what we have to become. We have to become disciples of love. We have to allow ourselves, because as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Man, that's a strong statement. I'm not there yet, but that's my goal, and that's your goal, isn't it? That we be transformed. Stand with me this morning. Let us love one another, 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, Let us love one another, 1 John 4:7-8. Let us love. Let us be transformed. Let us be transfigured. Would you put 1 John chapter 3 up for me as we close this morning? Beloved, now we are the children of God. Would you put your hand on your heart this morning as we close? We are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Father, we thank. Let's begin thanking Him. Father, we thank You this morning for the transformation. Father, we thank You this morning that, Lord, it is Your Word, the reflection of Your glory that is changing us from one degree, from one level to another. God, I thank You for every person this morning hearing by here in our presence or will hear it on the internet. Lord, I just thank You that, Father, You are changing us into Your likeness. You're changing us into Your image. And Father, today we say, Lord, we give You permission to mold. Go ahead, give Him permission. Lord, we give permission to reshape. We give You permission to add to where we're lacking. God, I thank You that You pour in mercy, grace. You pour in love. Lord, You pour in those elements that we need in our lives, that we go into this world and we represent You every day. God, I thank You for the life that we have before us to live. God, that we can live it to its fullest. And God, we can be the impact. We can be the light in this world, the light of love. Lord, because You are love. Father, I thank You, Lord, that each and every one of us, right where we are today, oh God, Father, we can be excited that, Lord, tomorrow is a new day. And with a new day comes new possibilities. With a new day comes new transformations. Lord, we just thank You for that. And I thank You for Living Waters Fellowship. God, I thank You for their heart for You and their heart to serve You. And Lord, I thank You, Lord, as they go forth this week, that they're going to go, Lord, in the power and might of love. Church, I send You forth this week. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord shine His face upon you, that you may walk this week in the power and the might where you were once the sons of thunder. This week you are a disciple of love. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. God bless you.